It's Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellum.
I'm Matthew Moore. Today, opinions vary when it comes to the new boutique hotel being built at Markham Hill in Fayetteville.
Everybody's interested in what's going on, right? And those opinions matter. And we want to listen to those. You know, this property will become an integral part of that community as time goes on.
What happened on Markham Hill, as an example, was a travesty.
Plus, a nursing program relaunches at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith.
A lot of scholarship and grant opportunities at the Foundation and Scholarship Foundation here at the UA Fort Smith that they can just apply for.
And Eureka Springs is throwing a blues party.
This is not a large festival stage out, you know, in off of the downtown area. This is the live music event right in the heart of the city.
All that right after the latest news from NPR.
The University of Arkansas Department of Political Science offers political science and public administration and nonprofit studies graduate programs. Both programs train the next generation of local, state, national, and global leaders in the public, nonprofit, and private sectors. Applications for fall 2024 and graduate assistantships are available for qualified applicants. plsc.uark.edu for more information.
This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024. I'm Matthew Moore. I hope you are staying dry on this rather dreary day across the region. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Later on our show, we hear from the University of Arkansas Fort Smith about their plans to use more than $2 million to improve their nursing program. That's in our second half hour today. First, though, Markham Hill is an unexpectedly divisive space in Fayetteville. Anyone who has driven through the neighborhoods surrounding the University of Arkansas is sure to have noticed signs bearing the slogan, "Save Markham Hill Again." Well, recently, their plea gained new desperation as development company Specialized Real Estate Group announced a new hotel and event space to open on the hilltop later this year. However, as Ozarks at Large's Jack Travis reports, hope is not lost on Markham Hill, and a sustainable future may be possible for everyone who cherishes the historic place.
While walking down a gravel road, you can hear birds and insects chirping overhead. Green leaves provide mottled shade, and a gentle wind begins to stir. Soon, the sounds of construction silence nature, choking out the sounds of a spring day. It's afternoon on top of Markham Hill, a place steeped in history and natural beauty that has become the focal point of a heated debate between proponents of urban development and advocates for preservation. But as one can tell by the presence of backhoes and gravel underfoot, one side seems to have claimed victory over the esteemed Markham Hilltop. But the story isn't over. Change does not always foretell the end of things, but rather, it may usher in a new beginning.
I grew up in South Fayetteville, and I went to Ramey Junior High School right down the hill there from Markham Hill.
That's Jim Reagan. He lived in Fayetteville from the late 1960s to the 80s. He says he remembers a time when Markham Hill was little more than a large house, some cabins, and a lot of forest.
One day, my brother, older brother, asked me if I would come up and take care of this cabin up on the northwest ridge of Markham Hill. I was like in ninth grade or something. It was winter time, and I went up, and there's no TV, no electricity. It was really cool. A lot of candles, wood stove, iron skillet, just real pioneer stuff, you know, and it was super cool. And I felt immediately at home. I was just like, oh, this is great. Lit some candles and, you know, twisted one up and, you know, just did the whole Fayetteville hippie thing.
Reagan wasn't the only person to do the Fayetteville hippie thing on top of Markham Hill. In fact, there's a website called Friends of Markham Hill, entirely dedicated to sharing the stories of people who called the mountain home. The author of nearly every post is Lisa Orton, a Markham Hill resident and founder of the group. She declined to comment for the story, but allowed the use of her writings as a source for gathering the history of the property. Here's the short version. Markham Hill is located west of the University of Arkansas's campus in Fayetteville. It became home to the Pratt family in 1900 after members of the Cherokee tribe were forced to move to make way for white settlers. The Pratt family ended up building several homes and cabins across the property, including a large house dubbed Pratt Place. Visitors often rented rooms in the mansion, marking the start of the property's history and hospitality. In 1921, Joy Pratt Markham founded Hilltop Camps. It was a summer camp for boys and girls of all ages on Markham Hill and featured activities like horseback riding and rustic cabin living. Following the camp's closure in 1941, the hill became a place for family residences, small cottages, and visitors staying at Pratt Place. After her passing, Joy Markham willed her roughly 60-acre portion of the property to the University of Arkansas, and the city of Fayetteville later acquired that acreage through a land swap in 2020. The university received the land that the UREC Tennis Center now occupies in return. The remaining 144 acres of the Pratt Markham property were in the hands of Joy's nephew, Julian Archer. He declared bankruptcy after a failed hospitality venture on Markham Hill in 2015. Property management company Specialized Real Estate Group bought Archer's 144 acres in 2016. They then laid out plans for expanding Pratt Place into a boutique hotel and event space. Neighbors began to voice opposition following the announcement of Specialized Real Estate Group's planned development.
We see this happen in a lot of markets that we go to, and especially smaller markets like the Fayetteville and some of the other cities that we're in.
Gary Sims is CEO of Hay Creek Hotels. They're a hospitality management company brought in by Specialized to operate Markham Hill's newest boutique hotel, the Stonebreaker. Though construction is ongoing, Sims says his company is already turning its attention toward the community.
Everybody's interested in what's going on, right? And those opinions matter. And we want to listen to those. This property will become an integral part of that community as time goes on. When Hay Creek, when we come in to operate a hotel, one of the very first things on our agenda is to make sure that we become part of the community. We're just not a hotel standing up there that we don't talk to anybody and, you know, we don't let the community come in. It's only for customers. I mean, this is really going to be part of the community.
Sim says the Stonebreaker, which they plan to open by December this year, will allow community members to take advantage of new amenities for a price.
We've got a membership program there. It's more of a social club. There's a private membership clubhouse. They have, you know, exercise facilities and things like that.
He says there will be free events as well.
Once we get the property open, we'll invite the community in to tour the property. We'll have a little, cocktail receptions for them. Any of the people that, did not want this development to happen, we're going to reach out to them. We're going to bring them to the property and show them what has improved their community, right? And it's being built, right? So it's not going to go away. It's going to be here forever. So our job is to make sure that we communicate, we engage with the community so they understand who we are, what we do, and we're there to be part of the community. We're not there to just be a standalone hotel. We are part of that community. And, the people that we hire that will work at that hotel, they're going to live in that community, right? So we really spend a lot of time with the local community to make sure they embrace us.
I think that what happened on Markham Hill, as an example, was a travesty.
Mark Witter is a Fayetteville resident who lived on the slopes of Markham Hill for much of his life. He says he barely recognizes the town he's inhabited since his boyhood in the 50s.
It was a different place from what it is today, that's for sure. Much smaller town. The university was way smaller than what it is now. I pretty much walked or rode my bicycle just about everywhere. Even when I was very young, I I can remember like being almost probably 5 years old riding my bicycle to the city pool at Wilson Park.
Even though Fayetteville has maintained its bikeability, Witter says urban development has encroached into the natural spaces intermingled with neighborhoods. Markham Hill was one of the few remnants of these sprawling urban forests Witter knew in his youth.
It was definitely a natural area, and it was cool because it was so close to the city. So it was right in the middle of an urban, it was like an island in the middle of an urban environment that was all natural. And also when I was a teenager, I got involved in scouting and went camping a lot, and kind of developed a huge passion for camping, and it carried on till just recently, actually. My wife and I have purchased some land over in Newton County, Arkansas, so we can kind of, we hope to build a house over there, maybe move over there, and get away from all the, you might call it progress, but I say that facetiously because it's not really progress in Fayetteville, of all the urban sprawl.
In August 2020, Specialized announced they had signed a letter of intent with the Northwest Arkansas Land Trust to pursue a conservation easement for more than 50 acres of Markham Hill. What's more, the 60-plus acres the city of Fayetteville owns will be protected in order to preserve it for trail access. Ozarks at Large reached out to the Land Trust for more details about the easement, but they declined to comment as the agreement has not yet been finalized and details are still unconfirmed. Markham Hill is changing, yes, but it's always been a dynamic place. For much of the time humans have resided there, it's been a refuge for people seeking hospitality in Northwest Arkansas. From summer campers to guests of Pratt Place, and numerous families who raised generations on its slopes, people will always call the hilltop home. And though development threatens its natural landscape, conservation easements await on the horizon, offering a sustainable future for Markham Hill. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jack Travis.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Matthew Moore. A group is continuing their efforts to put a public education amendment on the 2024 ballot. For Our Kids says they are almost halfway to collecting more than 90,000 signatures from 50 counties to put their proposal on the ballot. The amendment requires private schools which receive state tax dollars to have the same accountability and accreditation standards as public schools. It would also require the state to provide students in these schools with special ed services, after-school programs, services for lower-income students, and pre-K programs. Bill Kopsky of the Arkansas Public Policy Panel says these programs ultimately pay for themselves.
Pre-K investments is a return of investment of 9-to-1. Special education has a return, and after-school and summer have return of investments. I've seen studies showing 4-to-1. We think these are the four essential things for an adequate education that actually raises Arkansas off of the floor.
Kopsky says For Our Kids is being out-fundraised by a group that opposes the amendment. Arkansans for Students and Educators has raised over $600,000. One of the donations comes from billionaire Walmart heir Jim Walton. Meanwhile, For Our Kids has raised a little over $4,500. Organizer Steve Grapp says they haven't done much work on fundraising.
We made the conscious decision that our volunteers are giving more than we could possibly ask on a daily basis with their hard-earned time, their family time, their vacation time, and their own resources. that while we're in this signature phase, I'm not asking them for money.
For Our Kids says they have more than 1,000 volunteers across the state collecting signatures. They have until the beginning of July to collect the signatures. Arkansas's Attorney General is calling on providers of abortion pills to stop advertising in the state. Tim Griffin sent cease and desist letters yesterday to two companies which provide access to medication abortion, one based in New York and another based in the Netherlands. Griffin says advertising from the two companies violate the state's Deceptive Trade Practices Act. He says if they do not comply, he will take action and seek civil penalties of up to $10,000 per violation. All forms of abortion are illegal in Arkansas, except to save the life of the mother. Rebecca Bobrow, Director of Strategy for the Ballot Question Committee supporting the Arkansas Abortion Amendment, said the Attorney General's announcement makes it even more critical that their amendment gets on the ballot this November. She says, quote, "The state government is working every angle at its disposal to ensure that Arkansas women in need of abortion care have no options for accessing it. Every Arkansan who is angry about or even slightly skeptical of the Attorney General's threat to out-of-state clinics should sign the petition to get the amendment on November's ballot," end quote. South Carolina defeated Alabama yesterday in the SEC Baseball Championship Tournament to set up today's matchup against the Arkansas Razorback baseball squad. The tournament in Hoover, Alabama goes through Sunday. And this is part news, part bragging here. The University of Arkansas senior and Ozarks at Large contributor Rachel Sanchez-Smith was selected as one of just 87 students to participate in the Dow Jones News Fund program. The program had more than 1,000 applicants across the United States. The DJNF will provide training and a paid internship for the students in the program. Sanchez-Smith will work on analyzing data, visualizing information, and employing other data reporting methods before starting an internship this summer at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Congratulations, Rachel. The whole team at Ozarks at Large is proud of you.
A nursing program is returning to the University of Arkansas Fort Smith campus this fall. The college received notice this month it's been approved to bring back its Associate of Applied Science nursing degree in the Carolyn McKelvey Moore School of Nursing. Earlier this week, I talked with Brooke Gray, the program director for the degree at UAFS. She says the degree was phased out in the 2010s after a national goal for healthcare began to place a stronger emphasis to have all bedside nurses in hospitals possess a bachelor's degree or higher, then COVID, and so the approach is being rethought. Gray, who herself is a graduate of this UAFS program, says bringing it back is a way to replenish the number of nurses in the Arkansas workforce.
So during that decade, they phased out a lot of the associate degree level nursing programs and focused a lot on building BSN programs. But then 2020 happened. Mm-hmm. And came and affected, you know, the whole world, as we all know, and showed how important every level of nursing truly is and how we need all levels and not just BSN prepared. And so since then, the nursing demand has just grown.
How does this work? If someone's interested, I mean, is there help with tuition? How can they get through the program?
There are a lot of scholarship and grant opportunities at the foundation and scholarship foundation here at the UA Fort Smith that they can just apply for, and they can indicate that they're going for a nursing degree. There are a lot of assistance there. We're currently in partnership with our local hospitals, Mercy and Baptist Health. And both in Fort Smith, they are partnering with us and offering quite a bit of tuition assistance, tuition reimbursement for their employees in an effort to, you know, retain the nurses in this community that are already maybe started in the healthcare field and just haven't had that opportunity yet to go to school for whatever reason. There's just lots of other opportunities in the area that are willing to help.
When does this program start? When does it return?
We are starting the first class in August, so this fall semester. Mm-hmm. So it's a quick turnaround right now.
bet.
We just got the approval last week, but we've been working on it for a couple of years. I have. And so we're all ready to hit the ground running with it now that we have the approvals.
How many students can you have in August?
We may have 20 in this first go around, but our program maximum will be 30 per semester. And we will accept applicants both fall and spring semesters.
I know that once someone has a degree, the university doesn't have any control over where they do or don't work. But is part of the hope here that the shortage that we see, you know, in the Fort Smith Metro, in the state of Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma, that these are women and men who will be nurses in this area, hopefully?
That is definitely the hope, and it is going to be a great possibility with that partnership in the local hospitals. But most of the time, and we'll watch it, but most of the time, historically in the BSN program, we do collect that data, and most of them stay in this region. So it will address this local River Valley region shortage. And our first cohort to graduate should be in May of 2026.
You're an alum.
Yes, I am.
So you have been a medical professional.
Mm-hmm.
What is the first week or month? I know you've been training and you've been getting ready, but do you remember that first week, that first month, the first few months, what that was like?
Oh, yeah. And honestly, those feelings don't necessarily go away very quickly because there's a lot of fear, anxiety, unknown, excitement and things like that. And I think those the way the program progresses over the 2 years, it progressively gets more challenging towards the end, but also more rewarding each step of the way. And every time they get closer to becoming a nurse, the excitement and the fears may shift a little bit from, oh, how am I going to make it through school, to, oh, now I'm going to be in the real world actually doing the licensed work. So a lot of excitement, a lot of fear, but there's a lot of support with the university, with our college and our school of nursing. We're going to have a lot of support. The community is very, very excited and supportive in this as well. So we expect it for them to have all the resources they need to be successful.
How rewarding a job can it be?
Nursing in general is known to be one of the most rewarding jobs out there. If you ask most people why they want to be a nurse, most of the time the response is because they care about people or because they want to help people. So when they actually get to do that and they start to see things that they are doing that make a difference in someone's life, whether it's helping someone deal with pain or helping a wound heal or delivering a baby, which is what I've done for a long time in my career. It's very, very rewarding at that point when you know you made that difference. I do want to mention one more thing.
Please.
I haven't talked anything about the LPNs. There is a track in the program for those who are already licensed as an LPN nurse who want to become a registered nurse. So it's LPN to ADN track. And so they, once we have some of the finalized documents, we'll get the degree plan posted and they can start reviewing that. They have a little bit of, they have credit they can receive for having their license exam or their LPN license already. So they don't have certain classes they have to take, but they do need to take a transition course and get them prepared to transition from LPN to RN. So that's one of the first things they'll do after they've made sure they've had the science classes that are required. But then they will bridge in and combine with the traditional track of students as well. And then they'll all graduate together.
Brooke Gray spoke with me yesterday about the UAFS nursing relaunch for the two-year track. She says those interested in the degree should get applications submitted as soon as possible and certainly should get them in by July 1st. This is Ozarks at Large.
Last year, to celebrate KUAF's 50th anniversary, we had some former KUAF staff and friends of the station stop by to share their memories with us in the listening lab.
But it's kind of cool to think that KUAF has been around that long. And you know, radio is one of these professions that they have been pronouncing its death for how many years? KUAF has found its own niche as a powerful public radio service and voice in Northwest Arkansas.
The Listening Lab is a platform to let you share the stories of your life, this region, and each other. And we want to listen to you. Share your story with us and the entire KUAF community through The Listening Lab. Go to KUAF.com/The Listening Lab to learn more.
The Washington County Historical Society will observe the annual Statehood Day on Sunday, June 9th at 2 o'clock at First Christian Church on North College in Fayetteville. The speaker will be James L. Skip Rutherford, the Dean Emeritus of the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service. His talk is titled, When the World Was Watching Arkansas, the 1992 Presidential Election. That takes place Sunday, June 9th at 2 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Fayetteville. The 20th annual War Eagle Appreciation Day will be held Saturday, June 1st at Withrow Springs State Park near Huntsville. It will be centered at the park's Keith Ham Pavilion. There'll be plenty of activities, and attendees from the event that takes place June 1st, 11 to 1, will be entered into a raffle prize drawing. Prizes include a Perception Access 9.5 kayak. Other activities include free lunch, live music, and local organizations with educational and interactive activities focused on water, wildlife, history, tourism, and more.
For the Central Arkansas Library System, I'm Mark Chris with an Encyclopedia of Arkansas Minute. A North Little Rock writer's 1942 novel is said to be the longest in print by any Arkansas author. Mary Medeiros planned to attend a speech class at New York's Columbia University, but instead took a creative writing class in 1938. As a short story assignment, she wrote Death of a Country Doctor, based on her own father's death. After it won a magazine contest, a New York publisher asked her to expand it into a full-length novel. Big Doc's Girl told the tale of an Arkansas teenager whose bid to leave the state and study music was upended by hard times. The novel opens with the line, "The backcountry of Arkansas is always the same, no matter which fork you follow." The book was well received, and the New York Times counted Big Doc's Girl as one of the 10 best books of 1942. It was translated into several languages and made into a full-length play. The original publisher dropped it from their catalog in 1981, but Little Rock's August House produced a new edition 4 years later. To learn more, visit encyclopediaofarkansas.net.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. They're throwing a party pretty soon in Eureka Springs. That's not that unusual. They like to throw parties. This one is a blues party. The Eureka Springs Blues Party will start the afternoon of Thursday, May 30th, and last through Sunday night, June 2nd. More than 50 shows are scheduled, including free music, at 15 different spots, indoor and outdoor. Many of the shows will be in rooms at the Basin Park and Crescent Hotels, but also at clubs around town and in the Basin Park Band Shell. To get this sort of weekend together, it takes, well, promoters, club owners, vendors, musicians. Little Wing Productions books the headliners in the auditorium. The clubs handle their shows, and the Eureka Springs Community Center is overseeing a street party. We asked three of the organizers to gather around a computer for a Zoom call yesterday to get a bit more information about the 4 days of blues and blues-adjacent music. Jack Moyer, the executive vice president of the Crescent and Basin Park Hotels, says a town of 2,000 can't host such a weekend without cooperation.
That's the key element, and that's what's really important for us, is the collaboration of the event.
He says what also makes the 4 days of blues unique is the compact placement of the shows.
It's such a unique experience. This is not a large festival stage out, you know, off of the downtown area. This is the live music event right in the heart of the city. And it makes it unique. And that's what the need to bring partners in to fill the stages. It doesn't matter where you're going to walk. You're going to land on blues music over that 4 day period.
Mary Howes is event producer for the Eureka Springs Blues Party. She's overseen six blues stages, including the Basin Ballroom on top of the Basin Park Hotel. She says the Friday night, May 31st lineup is a mix of local and not local acts.
Red Oak Roos is going to open up, and they're a local, Eureka Springs local. They play music for us a lot, and we love them, tried and true, to Eureka. And then Chris Jacobs is going to play. So Chris Jacobs is up and coming in the blues world. He plays with a lot of bands that I love, a little bit more on the bluegrass side, the bands he plays with, but he is definitely a blues artist. So he's a little bit younger.
Saturday is more core blues for us on our blues stage at the Basin Park. And, you know, we have longstanding, you know, the Blues Festival in Eureka Springs is longstanding, two decades or longer. And for all of that period, we've always participated with the winners of the Beale Street Music Festivals. So the International Blues Festival, I don't have that right.
Awards, yeah.
The Memphis Awards, and that is a longstanding competition. In Northwest Arkansas, the Ozark Blues Society sends a band to the competition on Beale Street, and that was the Chad Marshall Band this year. And one of the winners of the BMA was John Nemeth. So we combined those two together to make an awesome core blues show. So we have Chad Marshall opening for John Nemeth.
Eureka Springs Community Center will host the inaugural Center Street Block Party on Saturday from noon until 6.
It's a fundraiser for them, and we'll have Earl and them, and so bands starting from 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and from noon to 6, downtown Eureka Springs will be a large entertainment district, and you'll be able to stroll the streets, enjoy the people of Eureka Springs, and also some great music right there on Center Street for a block party, basically between the Basin Park Hotel and Chelsea's.
Now, this festival weekend may veer from traditional festivals in some ways, but it does adhere to the festival custom of featuring headliners. And Friday night, the headliner is dubbed the 2024 Blues Legend. This is taking place downtown at the auditorium. Gina Rambo, head of marketing and communications at the Basin Park and Crescent, says this year's legend, Sonny Landreth, will bring his style of Louisiana blues to the festival.
He's a legendary blues guitar. He's out of Louisiana. He's known for his, you know, slide guitar, and he's just one of the legends in the business. So we're really excited to have him here on Friday night.
We are really trying to bring in all these different ages that enjoy live music and enjoy Eureka Springs. And so the Diamond Empire Band, they're a regional band, but they're as funk can get. And it's just going to be a lot of fun, a lot of horns. And, you know, just that's going to be at our partner Grotto upstairs, you know. And, you know, this is intended to have music on lots of stages, lots of fun, and also be easy to attend. You know, it's easy weekend for folks in Northwest Arkansas if they just want to float over and just, you know, be themselves and enjoy live music. And it's a great weekend in Eureka Springs.
Past Eureka Springs Blues Festivals boast an impressive set of alums, many of whom hadn't become headliners when they first played in Eureka. Artists like Tab Benoit, Jimmy Thackeray, and Eric Gales. There are also past performers like Coco Taylor, who were established legends when they were at the festival. Mary Howe says organizers want to also make sure that the venues where these legends and future legends play are as varied as the performers.
And those range from like during the day shows at Gotta Hold Brewery, all the way down to Chelsea's, who's, you know, we always call it Eureka's dive bar. It's where all the locals hang out, where the good music's been going through their halls for a long time. So Chelsea's has been a big partner. They're going to have music for 4 days. They're actually going to help close out the festival with the Patrick Sweeney show on Sunday afternoon, which is a blues festival staple in Eureka Springs. So we're glad to have that back.
We're going up.
Eureka Springs Blues Party begins Thursday afternoon, May 31st, and lasts through Sunday night, June 2nd. A full schedule and much more information can be found at eurekaspringsbluesparty.com. And here's music from one more scheduled musician, Louisiana-based Gemini Dragon, who mixes the blues and a sort of 70s AOR rock twinge. She'll play Saturday night at 7 at the Gravel Bar. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. It's Wednesday, May 22nd. Jasper Logan, Community Engagement Manager, is with me. Jasper, we keep people guessing on which day we're going to get together.
That's right. I think that's the the best part about this, is that we keep people guessing, and they never know when their event that they put on the calendar is going to get talked about.
So, but we're still going to talk about events
today.
We're
still going to talk about events, yeah. Yes. And so the first one we got coming up is happening this Thursday, May 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is the NWA Tech Fest. And it's happening in the Pat Walker Community Room at the library.
Okay. Fayetteville Public Library.
At the Fayetteville Public Library. That's right. Looks like they'll have great speakers with a ton of interesting topics. I even put down some of the topics.
Please. So we can
talk about it. Oh, okay. Stephen Jude is talking about learning is like running a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Meinhardt is finally a successor to YAML 4CI. You know what that is, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah, of course you do. And then the last one, Ryan Hibbert, is his talk is Pass Keys, Your Password-Free Future. My question for you is, what's a part of technology that's changed for you that you go, I don't know if I'm used to that yet.
And I'm not alone in this, but it's and when this first started happening, I was all for it.
Uh-huh.
But the ability to communicate with people 24/7. It used to be, when I started in radio, you kind of had to be in your office to get the phone call.
Yeah.
You know, it might have an answering service or an answering machine, but you wouldn't get that till the next day.
Yeah.
And so then when email came around, I was like, oh, I can just send an email at 10 at night.
Yeah.
I don't care if they answer till the morning, but we've continued the conversation.
Yeah.
But boy, that can come back to bite you.
Yeah. Now, would you say there's almost like an expectancy of like everyone should be available 24/7?
You know, we need to have a national conversation about that. It's like,
yeah.
I don't mind receiving the email
yeah.
Thursday night at 11, but just understand, I don't expect to respond to you.
Yeah.
But I understand the idea of I got to get this out before I forget.
Right.
And I'm guilty of doing that too. But we have to allow each other to have lives.
The freedom, yeah.
And yes, exactly.
The next one is, this is a little selfish of me, but Arts Live Theater is having their Madagascar play running this weekend, Thursday through Sunday at the Medium. Mm-hmm. And tickets are available at artslivetheater.com. The selfish of me because my daughter is in the play.
Is this her first big role?
This is her first, like, big thing that she's had to, like, audition for and, like, get and go through that whole process. And
she liking it?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
She's loving it. And it's been fun.
So it's at the Medium.
It's at the Medium.
In Springdale.
At the Medium. Shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All and right. So this is her first, like, full weekend of, like, plays and all that.
All right.
My question for you is,
yes,
have you had to go through the process of, like, auditioning for something and, like, trying to get something and then getting it? And what was that like for you?
So there was this 30 for 30 Nolan Richardson documentary. And the creators of it were looking for someone to do this sort of PA announcement.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was doing public address for the women's basketball team. So they had been referred to me. They came to the radio station. They wanted me to do it a certain way.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't doing it the way they wanted.
Yeah.
And it was a little awkward for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Like, they're the creators. It was their concept, and they were very gracious about it. Said, yeah, we're just not – I don't know. To this day, I don't know what they wanted. But I will tell you, at the end of the documentary, they thanked me for my time.
Nice.
So, you know, that's – but and that was – I don't think it hurt my feelings or anything, but it was just – it was interesting to see that process.
Yeah. Okay, the very last thing is also happening this weekend at the Four Points Sheraton in Bentonville is AdventureCon. The convention is 3 full days of gaming and features over 50 play-to-win games as well as events, prizes, and raffles. Tickets are only $50. And this is happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Sheraton in Bentonville.
If either of the games – Spades or Yahtzee, I'm in.
Anything? You know how to play spades?
Oh, dude, I'm pretty good at spades. You play spades?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know how much you know about black people, but spades is a very important game.
Okay. So when you play,
uh-huh,
what's the highest card?
It depends.
Okay.
So if you want to play as the ace of spade is the highest card, mm-hmm, you could do that, or you can do the big and little jokers. Yeah,
right. Which do you prefer? It just takes me a little while if we're going to do big and little jokers to remember,
yeah,
what that is and how
it,
to.
It takes me. I kind of prefer the ace of spades just because, mm-hmm, it feels a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I grew up, like, everybody on my dad's side of the family, like, played spades. Like, my granny taught me how to play spades. And there's another game that's kind of like spades called Bidwiz. Have you ever heard of this?
I've heard of it, and I've played it once, but
it's
not enough.
It's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they play it, but it's kind of like spades, but, like, they get pretty passionate about spades and about Bidwiz. And Bidwiz is like you can choose different. Any suit can be a trump card.
Okay,
it's exactly like spades, but you can choose which suit could be the trump. And so so I grew up playing in that, and then high school during lunch, everybody just play, like, people just played around
I
tables.
Love spades. Yeah,
and like we would just we would try to make it go as quick as possible, so we'd only do up to the ace, and then it would be like best two out of three. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah. So, but I'm guessing spades and Yahtzee are not part of AdventureCon.
They are not part of AdventureCon. But that was going to be my question. If you grew up playing any like board games or,
Yahtzee.
Okay.
And then once I got to high school and college, spades.
Yeah.
And I really do that. And my dad played cribbage.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's got this weird long rectangle board, and you've got pegs and it's cards. And he and my brothers were good at it, and it was a little beyond me. But I would say my wife and I were spades first.
Really?
Yep.
Man, I got to invite you over for Spades, though.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Where can we find the KUAF calendar?
KUAF.com/community calendar. And again, if you have events that you want people to know about, it's a great tool to utilize and to get the word out. So you can go ahead and go on to there, KUAF.com/community calendar, at an event. And if you tag Jasper Say This and on it, I'll say it.
All right. Jasper Logan, Community Engagement Manager at KUAF. Thank you.
Thanks.
Every weekday on Morning Edition, we dig deep.
That is such a good and important question.
And bring you the best stories.
It was funny, it was distasteful, it was crazy.
Join us for Mix the News You Need and the stories that might surprise you. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition tomorrow and every weekday morning from 5 to 9. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. With me, Sophia Narani. Sophia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Last time I think you were in the studio with me, you had a bowl with some names.
Yes, but this time I have a mug with some names for another giveaway for a concert that's going to be taking place on Friday called Hop House.
Tell me about the concert.
So it's basically a collaborative effort between two organizations in Northwest Arkansas, the House of Unts and Hop Out DIY, which are two kind of venue-based music collectives, and they're going to be performing at George's on Friday. So we have 4 tickets that we're going to give away total, but 2 names that we're pulling out of this mug.
All right. And how did people enter?
They went on Instagram at KUAF_music. And there's a post that is on there, and you like the post and comment, tag a friend. And I pulled all of their names out of this list. So
we're each going to draw a name?
Yes, both of us.
Who's going to go first?
Well, you, of course.
Oh, okay. Age before beauty, as they say. All right. And 2 tickets going to Cyrus at Cyronius Maximus.
Cyronius Maximus.
Cyronius Maximus.
Yeah,
yes.
Some of them have both their names and their handles, but nice. Some have their first and last name if it was available. But okay, going to pull mine out now.
All right.
Justine Harrington.
Okay.
Yay. So Cyrus and Justine, you guys just won, each of you, 2 tickets to this Hop House concert.
Friday night.
Your names are going to be taken at the door. You can expect a DM where we're going to give you more information.
All right. And we'll have more giveaways as the summer continues.
Oh, of course.
Some other news about you, right?
Yes.
Listeners should know.
Yes.
You're joining us full time.
Yes, I am. You'll be hearing a bit more of me, which is hopefully a good thing.
Oh, I think so. We think so. We hired you.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here.
You know. All right. Well, we're happy to have you here. Happy that we'll see more of you and have more giveaways.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Linguist Anne Curzan says she gets a lot of complaints about people using the pronoun they to refer to one person.
I sometimes get into arguments with people where they will say to me, but it can't be singular. And I will say, but it is.
The history behind words causing a lot of debate. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, Sunday at 1 on 91.3 KUAF, your public radio station. You can listen to KUAF by asking your smart speaker to please play KUAF. And tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, many folks are skipping doctor's trips or expensive trips to the emergency room and checking into urgent care clinics for affordable and fast outpatient treatment.
This is a really important point because we really want the right care delivered at the right place in a timely manner. And that's really what urgent care is all about.
More about the growth of urgent care in Northwest Arkansas tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF. Community Blood Center of the Ozarks is presenting the Great Gas Card Giveaway Blood Drive Friday. That's just a week before the 3-day Memorial Day weekend really gets underway. Donors who give blood at one of CBCO's Arkansas donor centers will receive a mystery gift card from Casey's valued at either $10, $25, $50, or even $100. While supplies last, donors will also receive a custom Arkansas Naturals t-shirt and 2 free tickets to an upcoming Naturals baseball game. donation hours for the Great Gas Card Giveaway Blood Drive in both Springdale and Bentonville are 8 until 2 Friday. The Springdale Center is at 3503 South Thompson Street. The Bentonville Donor Center is at 1400 Southeast Walton Boulevard. This again for Friday only. All donor centers, by the way, closed May 27th in observance of Memorial Day. And as we've heard earlier this week from other blood agencies, as we move into summer, donations begin to lag, but supply does not. Earlier this hour, we highlighted the upcoming Eureka Springs Blues Party that begins later this month. This week, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art had their own music announcement as they released the Summer Forest Concert Series schedule. It will start June 22nd. First guest, a Northwest Arkansas favorite, Ray Wiley Hubbard. He'll be presented by House of Songs. Then on the 29th, Brittany Spencer.
It's your very first kiss in the driveway. It's the party that you almost missed. It's the mixtape when your poor young heart breaks. It's the memory you can't forget. Playing in the background takes you to the front row. Says it better than you'd say yourself. The high and low feelings, everything between them, everything you'd ever felt.
Spencer is featured on the recent Beyoncé release, Cowboy Carter, and was in Bentonville just a couple of years ago, you may remember, for the Momentaries Live on the Green concert series. Then we have a turn. Black Oak, Arkansas will be on stage at Crystal Bridges for a July 20th concert. And the series concludes August 3rd with a performance by Rissy Palmer, who blends R&B and country. All of the concerts in the Summer Forest Concert Series are, as the name suggests, outdoors in the museum's North Forest. Tickets for each concert, $30, $25 for members. Those under 18 can attend for free. More information at crystalbridges.org.
This spring and summer, an extremely rare phenomenon of the natural world will occur, the co-emergence of two distinct broods of periodical cicadas. This, of course, in addition to the cicadas we hear every summer in Arkansas. In this month's Short Talks from the Hill, a research and economic development podcast of the University of Arkansas, entomologist Austin Jones will discuss this insect party and tell us what to expect.
The last time this has happened was 1803, so this is a 221-year cycle. It sounds awe-inspiring because we already have billions, if not trillions, of these things coming out in each of these broods, and to have two coming out simultaneously, wow, there's going to be lots. But it's really going to increase the range of emergence more so than the density at any one location.
Jones is an instructor in the Dale Bumpers College of Agricultural Food and Life Sciences. You can listen to him discuss his research wherever you get your podcasts or by going to arkansasresearch.uark.edu, the home of research and economic development news at the University of Arkansas.
Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF Fayetteville. Contributors to today's show included Jack Travis, Jasper Logan, and Sophia Narani. Additional help today came from the news staff at Little Rock Public Radio.
The show is produced inside the Bruce and Ann Applegate News Studio 2 by Matthew. Talked a lot about music today. One other, quickly, I wanted to remind you that the 40th anniversary of the OK Mozart Festival is taking place beginning June 7th in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Giselle Dobson, the Manhattan Chamber Players, and others. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more later this week.
That sounds like a plan.
All right.
We're halfway through the week, so we got some time still.
Yeah, we do. And a reminder, or the first time you may be hearing this, archive shows next week.
That's right.
More about that later this week. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Matthew Moore. Be well.
Arkansas Senior Health Insurance Information Program reminds listeners that May is Older Americans Month. AR SHIP will answer Medicare questions and provide confidential, unbiased education. More information at 1-800-224-6330. That's 800-224-6330.